Welcome back to the show. This is a very special segment because it is a very Chicago segment. There are four people in here with me who are involved in the business of horses and carriages that ride around the city of Chicago, and there are people in this world who don't want that. Jim Rogers, you're the first guy to get in touch with me. I've been watching this story evolve, and thanks to the great legendary Bruce Elliott, the proprietor of the Old Town Ale House, he put me in touch with
you.
Very
much thanks.
You run Great Lakes Carriage Rides. Tell me what that is.
Great Lakes Horse and Carriage is a family business run by myself and my wife and whoever we can get to work for us. And we run three horse-drawn carriages here. I ship horses in from out of town to run primarily on weekends.
You met your wife through the carriage business, did you not?
I did. I met my wife. Her name was Valerie Ball back then, and she was manager at the Noble Horse Carriage Company, and I was operating another carriage company, and we just kind of met and clicked.
How long have you been in the carriage business?
This is my 20th.
And do you refer to it, all of you guys, and I'll introduce you all, Larry Ortega and Debbie Hay and Danny Segru, who is the father of a great producer here. How long have you been in the business, and what got you in the business in the first place?
This is my 20th year, and that summer that I was working part-time for UPS the year they went on strike. And I was not yet protected by the unions, and I didn't want to cross the picket line, and I was having more fun and making more money driving carriages, and opportunities opened up, and here I am 20 years later.
You a city kid or a kid?
I was born here. I was raised in the northwest suburbs. I attended DePaul University from 90 to 95, and my first or second year in the business, I started out working for Noble Horse, which was run by Dan Sampson, and then Larry Ortega gave me an opportunity to help me, let me work with him for a long
time. That's a perfect introduction to Larry Ortega. Larry, tell us about yourself. Now, I've seen you on TV, so I think of you as a TV star.
I have a radio face, really. lifelong Chicagoan. Born in Humble Park, raised in Rogers Park, went to grade school, high school, in Chicago here. I got involved back in 1980. I too started with Noble Horse, and then my brother and I decided to go off on our own.
With what company?
With Chicago Horse and Carriage.
Yeah.
And it's been 38 years in running. And I figured I'd give myself a year to see if I enjoyed it. And I fell in love with it.
And 37 years later, I'm like, yeah, this is great. This is fun.
At the time, I was at NIU, and I figured, you know what? I'll take a year off. I'll start a business. I'll see if this flies. I have my own business. If it doesn't work, I'll just go back to school.
It's been a good business for you.
Good years and bad years.
Some up and down. Sure.
When the weather was much more predictable, it was great. You could run in a routine. However, now it's just we're all over the place. We don't know how it's going to be.
Yeah.
And back then, there was no competition. The only competition was Wendella. There were no trolleys. There were no double-decker buses. There was no one. We were it.
You want to know a funny small world thing? Earlier this afternoon, I went to the surprise birthday party for 85-year-old Bob Borgstrom, who ran Wendella. Okay. His kids now run it. When there was one boat. I mean, in the old days, there was one boat. That's a very small world story. Now, Debbie Hay, what's your story?
Well, my story...
Talk a little closer to the mic. Thanks.
I started driving for Antique Coach and Carriage. The Mounted Police, John Walls and John Schaefer, had incorporated the company, and they were raising children, so they decided that too time-consuming to have full-time jobs, families, and a carriage business.
Uh-huh.
Totally understand, because it's kind of a 24/7 situation with your horses, caring for them, getting them to and from work.
Sure.
Back then, we didn't have stables here in Chicago, so we walked to the suburbs back and forth. It's pretty time consuming.
Wow, no kidding.
John took me under his wing, and it just went from there to lawyers, to banks.
How many years?
Let's see, I was 20, 30, About 34.
Now, Danny, what's your story?
Well, first of all, I'm an uncle of a producer here.
Oh, well.
And my brother got mad at me. But,
uncle of the Danza group.
I'm just a city boy. Grew up here in the city, and I started at Noble Horses, a driver on weekends for enjoyment. And later went on to manage Noble Horse for about 12 years. And at the current time, I'm managing for Debbie at Antique Coach and Carriage.
Why and who are these people who are trying to put an end to what I consider, you know, what I've heard the argument. I saw you on TV and talking to an alderman, of course, and some goofy woman, and it crowds the streets. Now, I live at Kitty Corner from the water tower, and I see those horses every single day. They're making some kind of argument that they clog up the streets. They're making some kind of argument that the way the horses are treated is cruel and unusual, which I think is absolute BS, because I know and have met a number of carriage drivers. Those horses, to my mind, and I may be naive about this, are treated as well as any horse, maybe, you know, the latest Triple Crown winner is treated better, but they are treated with such care, not only because you work closely with them, but also, Jim, they are part of your bid. They're your colleagues in business, in a sense, aren't they?
Well, absolutely. They're your partner.
Yeah.
And for those of us that own more than one horse, we have more than one partner, I suppose. But
these carriage horses have worked 10, 15 years with the same company because they're well cared for. They're not mistreated. We don't want to train new horses every year. So we do take care of them. Most of the drivers that come are there because they love horses, not because they're getting rich doing this.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. This is not a get-rich quick scheme. I mean, you have to want to do this. It's almost like a vocation. And just like Debbie said earlier, this is a 24-hour job. They're always on your mind. The first thing you look at when you wake up, the last thing you look at before you go to bed. I mean,
now, where are the horses kept? I know Noble Horse had that horrible fire a couple of years ago, right, or 4 years ago or something, and they were on, I mean, it was three blocks from where I grew up. Where do the horses come from? Where do they live?
I don't keep any horses in town at this time, and I'm trucking my horses in from Northwest Indiana, about an hour away.
Where they live on a farm or something?
We have an equine property, and when we work, we're trucking in. But at this time, that's what we're doing now. And, you know, Debbie and Larry can speak for what
Larry,
they're
where
doing.
Are your horses?
We are located in West Town.
Okay.
And that's the Horses City home. And we keep them at a beach or on a farm when they're not working.
Wow.
Switch them out. But my horses have been working 4-day work week in season. So if you add in even a Christmas season, we're talking about maybe 5 months out of the year.
Yeah.
That it's a 4-day weekend, 4-day work week.
Right.
I should say. But about 3 months off.
But
this past year,
the other thing, thing about horses, I mean, I'm no animal expert, but horses, in some ways, in which dogs were, not all dogs were meant to be house pets because mm-hmm. they have an innate sense of hunting and fetching and doing that. Horses were. They don't just like to, you know, wander around. They're workers, right?
Especially our breed. Our breed of horses.
What breed is that?
Draft horses.
Okay.
So draft horses have a larger bone structure, muscle mass, because this is what they do. They can't do what American Pharoah can do.
Yeah, right, sure.
But American Pharaoh cannot do what these horses can do.
You know,
that's breeding.
I've heard the other thing. I've heard this thing, I've been in those carriages a number of times.
Thank you.
And I've heard, oh, please. I once said the best time I ever did was met my girlfriend to buy a Christmas tree and had one of the drivers, I don't know who it was, I don't know what company it was, come and meet us at the tree lot and take the tree back.
It was on Division?
No, it was on North Avenue.
Yeah.
No, it was on North Avenue.
Someone else had your idea. I remember someone on Division.
It's the greatest idea I've ever had, because it's 8 or 9 years ago, and she's still my girlfriend.
There you go.
So I've been on them a million times. I know they're really big. You know, it's a big tourist thing to do. Mm-hmm. That people say it is, but most of the people I know who ride carriages, and you can tell me I'm dead wrong, are from Chicago or the area. This is a huge treat. It's like riding the Ferris wheel. It's like going to Lincoln Park Zoo. It is something that Chicagoans do. It is not New York. I think it's maybe more tourist kind of thing. But what do you think about that theory of mine?
We get regular customers all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, constantly. We have some that come once a month with their kids or grandkids. It's a lot of repeat business, but we do it. It's a good mix with the tourism.
Yeah, sure.
On North Michigan Avenue.
So, yeah.
So you get a good mix of
now,
each.
Did you guys once, were you allowed to be at other places? I know the Water Tower, that Water Tower place now is your, like, setting off point. But weren't you able years ago to be in other places? Were you?
Back when the carriage industry started, there were 60 carriages. In the city.
How many?
60 carriages.
How many are there now?
Today there are
22.
Yeah, 20, 22.
There's 40 licenses.
Wow.
Right. So
22 in use.
The 38 carriages used to run from Water Tower Place and the pumping station.
Right.
And traffic moved easily. There's all these studies with the Chaddock Institute, traffic congestion, and traffic is slowing down, and everyone is pointing at Uber and
My theory about you want to solve the traffic problem is charge the Rahm Emanuel brother controlled Uber and Lyft, make them pay what taxis used to have to pay to get a license. That'll clear up the traffic jams.
But back in the day, there used to be a traffic cop on every intersection.
Absolutely,
and traffic flowed. And right now, there are 2-3 officers on every corner along Michigan Avenue.
Yeah, I know.
And I understand they're preventive medicine, and they do a great job. I love the police.
Yeah.
But I think with the way congestion is going right now downtown.
Oh,
and
Michigan Avenue? It's horrible.
No one respects the light.
Yeah.
I think we need to go back to having a traffic cop.
I think that's a great idea.
Honest and I think things would flow a little bit easier. At least give it a try.
Okay. Who is behind this half-baked effort to do away with, and I think that's what they want to do away with, and Albert Nateris is no longer the alderman of 42nd Ward. He wanted diapers on, or whatever they were, diapers or underpants. I don't know what he wanted on there. He wanted diapers, yeah, because oh, my God, horses go to the bathroom.
You know what? That's a good idea, though. I mean,
you think it's a good idea?
Not a diaper. We have a diaper bag.
It's a diaper bag. It catches some manure. And, you know, we're getting one of the things in the ordinance is that we're a sanitation problem. And our diapers catch about 98% of the manure that's on the street.
Because I remember the old days too, and there was much more of that trouble out there. Who is behind this effort to basically destroy the? And tell me I'm wrong or making too much of this. Right. There are people out to basically destroy
the
carriage business.
Two pronged.
Radical animal rights activist named Jody Wiedeker and her not-for-profit group, the Chicago Animal Alliance, they're making the main push here in Chicago to put a end to the horse and carriage industry. And it's even stated on Ms. Wiedeker's website that this industry should be eliminated by all in any means possible.
Because their argument is, in the way that radical animal rights activists can be, their argument is this is totally... What do they think... What do they think these horses should be doing? I mean, do you have any idea? They just don't think they should be with carriages.
They think they should be running free out in a pasture.
What pasture?
Of course, they don't. Well, Debbie has a pasture out at her farm. But at the same time, who's going to pay for the pasture?
Right.
Debbie has 5 retired carriage horses at her farm now that she's paying to upkeep. Farriers,
sure. When
vets,
it's like a retirement plan
exactly.
For the horses, right?
So,
their small pension, but it's a good one.
But it costs money to do that.
Yeah,
and they think you just turn them loose out in a field somewhere, and that's not how it works. Horses need to be cared for. They need their feet trimmed regularly. They need their teeth floated. They need a vet to come and check them, and that all costs money.
But also, when they're at a certain age, they need and want. To work. Tell me that's really naive, but...
The breeds of horses that we use, the draft horses, were bred into the breeds because of their ability to do the work and their mental disposition to want to do the work. And if you take a working horse and you take its job away and you leave it in a pasture, it will physically and mentally decay. You will have a bored animal that will create problems. And it's just not as healthy as it would be had it continue working.
What's the other problem? We have the animal rights activist people.
The city.
The other thing I will say here is this city has a number of problems. And if I had to make a list of the city's problems, carriages getting in the way of traffic would be about 800th on a list of 500.
Well, Alderman Riley is a big thing with traffic in the downtown area. We have a small footprint. We are running mostly 12 carriages on weekends and maybe 2 or 3 during the week.
Wow.
At night. And as far as the traffic, there's 13 bus lines that go down Michigan Avenue.
Tell me about it. I live there.
There's garbage trucks. There's Uber. There's Lyft. There's a stoplight every corner. The traffic footprint is so small that it's really negligible compared to what else is out there.
Yeah, I could not agree more.
We're the smallest transportation operation with the shortest amount of work hours. And... they're trying to convince the public that we're causing congestion.
The problem is, you know, there are a number of very, very, very wealthy people who live just across the tiny little street where the horses lie. Do you think some of those people have made a phone call to the person to whom they give a lot of campaign money but will not be giving much anymore, Rahm Emanuel, and said, hey, is there anything you order Riley? Is there anything you can do? I had to walk 10 steps out of my way to get to my limousine driver.
There are some folks, some neighbors that don't like us, and there are plenty that love us. They come regularly.
They don't see the charm in it.
No, they don't. The dog owners all love coming by, bringing their dogs, and we have horses that love the dogs, and we have horses that aren't so fond of them. But they actually come by and want to see the horses. But I can't say who's who or
yeah, no,
who's
I know.
What.
No, I know.
But I live in a neighborhood, too.
Yeah.
And I don't hear... what I guess they hear. Alderman Riley, Alderman Hopkins, I never got the impression that they ever liked us. I have to say Alderman Riley was very fair when the animal rights activists asked for signage on the carriage as far as the weather's concerned. And I told him, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
We don't have a problem.
What do you
mean
signage as far as the weather?
Well,
like saying if it's...
carriages are not allowed when the temperature is 90 or above.
Okay.
So when it hit the news that he's going to propose this ordinance, that there's going to be signage on the carriage so the public knows that they can call in,
ugh.
We said...
why don't they just put big thermometers on the carriages?
That might work. But I said, there's no problem here because we don't violate that ordinance.
Yeah.
Now, Jody Whittaker likes to say that she's nailed us. being out when the temperature was 90 degrees, but that's a gotcha moment.
Yeah, right, sure.
Because the way the ordinance reads, if a carriage is on the middle of a ride and the temperature hits 90 degrees, we are to come back to the stand, finish the ride, come back to the stand, water our horse, and leave. But when you're there, she's there, and there's other activists there. They take pictures. They berate the driver. They berate the customers. They start screaming that it's 90 degrees. They even try calling the police.
Oh,
the police
sake.
Shrugged their shoulders. And
yeah, said, right.
They're complying with the ordinance. They're going in, and they don't write any citations.
Right.
The other thing on that is it's the temperature is regulated by the National Weather Service. We have had to move from O'Hare to Northerly Island.
Right.
And they can call AccuWeather. They can call any weather service, and it says 90. That's not the National
exactly.
Weather
it's
Service.
Not, it's not what
and
it
they,
is.
And they use
also, it's
anything.
The front,
yeah.
Which is where you are.
Right.
Is now, what is the next step for you folks? How can people listening to this get involved? I know, Jim, you have a website, don't you? I don't know if it's just yours, but there is a website,
SaveChicagoCarriages.com.
And that'll probably keep people updated. But what's the status now of this two-pronged attack on you? Bullets are being fired.
What we need are people to speak out that they are in favor and let their aldermen know. And not just their aldermen, but all the aldermen that sit on the Committee for the Business Affairs and Consumer Protection and Licensing, which may or may not meet this.
You guys,
Wednesday.
You guys seem to me, Jim Rogers, Larry Ortega, Debbie Hay, and Danny Segru, you guys seem nervous about this. You seem worried.
They're taking our livelihood away.
Yeah.
They're trying to.
It's worth being worried about that.
Yeah.
There used to be dialogue.
Yeah.
I've been doing this since day one. And whenever there was an issue, the alderman would call us in. The commissioner at the time was called Consumer Services. Now it's Business Affairs and Consumer Protection. Used to call us in and say, we have a problem. We're hearing this. And we would tell them what it is. And if it needed correcting, we'd correct it.
Yeah.
And that was it. Alderman Taras used to get a bad rap. Publicly,
I like Bert.
So do I.
Yeah, I did.
I have a lot of respect for that man.
Me too.
War hero.
Yeah.
I have a lot of respect for him. Publicly, it's, what about the horses? What about the horses? But privately, in every meeting I've been with him, he's been respectful. He's saying, listen, a couple people don't like this, don't like that. Can you take care of this? Can you take care of that? And we said, not a problem. We'll take care of it. And then he'd ask us if there's anything he can do for us.
Oh, how nice.
And
but that's the way it should. That's the way.
And that's how it works.
It should be.
There's not enough dialogue with the city. we spoke with the commissioner late last week. I've never met her, but it's, you know, during this administration, it's been a revolving door at Business Affairs and Consumer Protection. Now, the present commissioner was very nice and very helpful, and I've never met her, but over the phone, She was reaching out to say, you guys better get some, you better get going. However, prior to that, I didn't even know she was the commissioner. If I go and Google who is the commissioner of BACP, it was Mrs. Fields. And then I don't even know when she became commissioner. It becomes hard to track.
I think since 2013, there's been five or six commissioners, depending on if you count on whether or not the acting commissioner is considered a commissioner.
I guess what stuns me as a lifelong Chicagoan is that with all the problems in this city, that anybody has the time to be worried about. You know, I trust you guys. I see the horses all the time. I trust my eyes. I do not see any kind of. You want to see abuse? How about reopening the mental health clinic so these people don't sleeping on Lower Wacker Drive? I mean, there are bigger problems in this town.
We're in the wide open. We're right there on Michigan.
Yeah, Avenue. That's a point, too.
The commissioner would call the water tower, the hot box. Everybody and their mother, is if they're selling anything or if they're doing anything, they want to do it there. That is
It's among the busiest. That
is.
Corner is among the busiest
it
corners. It's like something in New York.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you folks before I let you go, and thank you again for doing this. Jim Rogers, Larry Ortega, Debbie Hay, and Danny Segru. that what's going on in New York? I mean, with carriages in New York,
well, not a whole lot different than here.
Things happen there
for the same reason.
Things happen there either simultaneously or slightly before they happen here, and on a magnified scale. This is a spillover from what's been happening there. When Mayor de Blasio wanted to introduce or ran on the platform that he was going to get rid of the horses and carriages.
That was part of his platform?
That's
mayor
right.
Mayor of New York City?
Then not long afterward, Alderman Ed Burke uses the same verbiage in his proposed ordinance ban, which is straight off of a PETA pamphlet with more information. Saying things, whereas horse carriages have been banned in this city, that city, that city, that city, and then you go and you can look up and see that they still offer horse carriages in all those places. They don't even fact-check or verify the things that they state, not even in this ordinance proposal.
So in New York, the carriage operators are being assailed in the same way you guys are.
In a much more amplified way, and the city of New York City deals differently with complaints given to them by animal rights activists as this city does. This city is a business affairs and consumer protection is a complaint driven agency. So anyone can come in with a complaint, take a picture, fill out a form, give it to them, and then they can issue you a summons without an investigator actually being there. And then you have to go to administrative court and defend yourself in this administrative court against two tickets, one to the driver and one to the company. And on top of that, by state law, we have to hire attorneys to defend ourselves. So it becomes very expensive.
Yeah. It just it seems so of all the things that need writing in this world and this city, this does not even seem to be on the radar. You guys, I'm an advocate. I don't want to see those horses go away. I really don't, and I'm really grateful for you coming on, and I hope you fight the good fight. Maybe I can even write about something.
Yeah. I appreciate all the help.
No, don't be silly. And Jim, thank you for.
Oh, you're welcome. I mean, there's so much more to talk about. We haven't even scratched the surface, and we'd love to come back on here some other time to try to finish.
I'd love it too. I'd love it too. I'd love it too. You guys like the radio studios? That's good. That's good. Where are your horses now?
Resting.
They're all sleeping. Sleeping, I hope.
Wait, they're not listening? What kind of horses are these? That's crazy.
Did you leave your radio on over there?
we do have a radio on in the bar.
That's right. That's they're listening to WGN.
My biggest fans. Jim Rogers, Larry Ortega, Debbie Hayen, Danny Seagrew. Thank you. This has been bugging me for a long time, and we haven't gotten to the bottom of it.
But thank you for having
us. We will.
Thank you.
We will.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. See y'all next Sunday. Okay.